Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I decided to entitle this first message, Why Money Matters. Well, money matters because to God, it matters, and our understanding of money thus matters. So why does it really matter? Because the truth of the matter is, to God, money is important. And to our lives, we kind of cannot go anywhere or do anything without money. I want to talk to you or preface this first message on a parable. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a spiritual truth or a lesson from that story. Now, approximately 500 verses on prayer and faith. The Bible has about 500 of those, both for prayer and faith, and approximately 2,000 verses on money and possessions. That's a very important reason why we want to talk about money. Secondly, when you look at Jesus' parables, nearly 40% of his parables deal with money and possessions. In short, money matters. The parable I want to talk with you today is the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is about a wealthy master and his three servants. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his wealth. Notice the words, entrusted them with his wealth. The first point I want to make about money, wealth, and finances and possessions is God entrusts resources to everyone. There's not a single person where God does not entrust resources to. And that's an important principle for you to understand. God entrusts resources to everyone because everything belongs to God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The point in saying all of that is that everything belongs to God. More than that, it says in Psalm 50, verses 9 and 10, I have no need for a bull or from your stall or from every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle of a thousand hills. Basically, what this verse is saying is that God owns everything. And it says about cattle. I once read an article when I was a teenager about an attempt of man to create an artificial cow. They tried to feed this machine with grass to see if they could come out with milk. And after so many tries, they ended up with four buildings and they still could arrive with fresh milk using grass. God is able to do things and provide us with things that we cannot do on our own. Everything belongs to God. Everything we have comes from God. Further in verse 15, it says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, speaking about the man in the parable. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. The point in saying all of this is to each one of us is entrusted some level of things that God wants to give us. I'm reminded as I thought of this of an illustration of the early days of harvesting wheat or grain or just the work of agriculture and how back-breaking that work is until a young 22-year-old man who saw the designs of his father perfected the reaper. Cyrus McCormick in 1831 finally invented the reaper that could now automate harvesting, which removes the back-breaking work of harvesting, more than that, tripling if not quadrupling the way agriculture was done. To this day, that design is the basis for all the mechanical harvesters we find. Not only is the back-breaking work removed, but the increase in food production by hundreds of fold was created by this man. Here's the point. Where did he get that? Ideas. And where do ideas come from? God. Because everything belongs to God. And more than that, everything really has to come from God. If everything belongs to God, then everything we have actually comes from God. When we understand this as a basis and a platform and a foundation for our understanding about wealth, possessions, and money, we're on our way to seeing success in this area of our lives. Further in verse 15, it says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, and each according to his ability. This is important to understand. It's true that everything belongs to God, and everything we have comes from God, but God also entrusts based on our abilities. And that is not equal. God has assigned to us certain things that we can do and certain things we can't do. The point is to settle it. Settle it once and for all. Some people will have more than others, and some people will have greater abilities than others. The key to making sure that you're not affected by this is the word envy. Settle it once and for all. I've learned this the hard way. I used to be very envious of people who had more than I did until I realized that that's not the way God ordained it. God ordained it that we have different capacities and different capabilities. And we remain faithful to those, we will see our lives blessed. In verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Notice the words, after a long time, the master returns and is now settling accounts. The second point I want to bring up, which is very important for our understanding of wealth, resources, and money, is that God will check our use of our resources, whatever it may be. Some of us may have more, some of us will have less. The point is, why we have different capacities and capabilities, God will check our use of those resources. In short, one day, God will audit us. The word audit is important to understand. Because God owns everything, He has every right to audit the way we use that. In short, we are accountable to Him. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 19, it says, after a long time. And that's the key to our understanding about audit. Sometimes we think just because it's a long time, the audit's not going to come. The fact of the matter is it will come one day simply because we're accountable. And I need to warn you here, do not be lulled to the fact that just because things are not being audited by God right now, that it won't happen. Fact of the matter is God will check our use of His resources, whether that's His creation, whether that's His natural resources, whether that's the things that He entrusted to you, one day God will audit. Auditing is all about the use of resources. When you audit something, you're trying to check whether those resources were used for the right reasons, the right purposes, and the right measures. I remember, as I thought of this, of a story in April 2012 when I went to Orlando, Florida. I was in a conference amongst businessmen, and I met a man named Jiro Nishimura, and it says in his card, CEO. When I looked at his card, it said, Jacto Brasilia, and I thought, I've never heard of this company ever. When I got to my room that evening, I Googled the company. It turns out it's one of the biggest agricultural companies in Brazil, a very advanced company that deals with technology. And when I looked at the website, it was fascinating because I saw all this equipment and more equipment. And I wonder, who is this guy? And then I started looking at the website. And finally, after I learned his story, over dinner, I sat down and heard the full of that story. If you ever have a chance and go to the Jacto website, you'll find that in 1931, his father, Shunji Nishimura, actually was a Methodist or a Christian who was who learned from a Methodist Christian school. He was about to immigrate because of the turmoil in Japan at the time, and he moved to Brazil. He took these Christian values, added to his Japanese roots, and in 1932, he boarded a boat headed for Buenos Aires, and eventually ended up in Brazil. He arrived at the port of Port Santos in March 22. At the age of 21, he carried nothing but a technician's diploma, a Bible, and $100 in his luggage. He ended up being a coffee picker. That's not him, by the way. That's just the picture. And the income was so low, he almost became a beggar. After that, he moved to Sao Paulo, Brazil, where he started a little shop, a repair shop, because he had the technician's ability, and there he found that a lot of the farmers needed repair for their agricultural equipment. And thus, in 1948, Shunji invented the very first Jacto sprayer. That Jacto sprayer was so amazing that today it's used in 100 countries all over the world. If you ever have a chance to see the Jacto website, it's fascinating how many of these inventions happened because of the simple faithfulness and diligence of Shunji Nishimura. This is a picture of Shunji when he had been older with his first invention. When you're talking about the resources God gives you, it begins with health. Funny thing about Shunji was he died at the age of 99. More than that, he kept his relationships. To this day, a third generation of his company or his family runs the company. His time, his talents, his character, and his skills. That applies to him as it applies to us. If we want to see the resources of God work in our lives, number one is to realize God will one day audit us. More than that, He's auditing us about the use of our resources. Finally, God's resources are for His purposes. In another parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, it says, Jesus spoke of this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus again." Notice what he says. After he had made all of that, he just wanted to store it. "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" In short, God is not interested in you just storing and storing and storing. It finally ends in verse 21, where the parable says, "This is how it will be to whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." God's intent is to bless us financially, in terms of wealth, in terms of the resources that He wants to give us. But He also wants to make sure that we understand that these resources are for His purposes, including our own purposes for our lives. If you ever go to Brazil, there's a monument to Shunji Nishimura. It stands in one of the universities that he has built. Because when you look at the website of Jackdaw, you will find that they are so into the reality of being a Christian. It says we develop our own people and avoid hiring people from other companies. It says that we work hard to prosper. In fact, when Shunji was just starting out, he would take little tin cans and make them into mugs. He would work hard to be able to literally buy his first electrical welding machine. Further, if you look at the website, what's impressive is they honor their commitments. They avoid debts, but here's the most impressive. They believe in social and environmental responsibility and serve the farmers of Brazil. Finally, they believe in sharing whatever income or wealth they get with their own workers and employees. It's impressive when you understand what wealth is for. When you understand that God will check our resources and how we use them, that one day God will audit us. Audits are about the use of His resources. And finally, God's resources are there for a purpose. Finally, in chapter 25, verse 19, it says, "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them." The next verse says, "The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. In other words, he doubled what was given to him. So the third point I want to bring up, the final point I want to bring up, to help us understand the power of the wealth that God wants to entrust with us is this. God expects us to use His resources. God expects you not to just to use His resources, but He actually expects you to multiply those resources. In the website of Jackdaw, you will find that the company that started with the one single pumping spray for fertilizer and pesticide is now a gigantic agricultural business. When you trust God, when you operate on the ways of God, wealth. Now, by the way, I'm not saying we're all going to be this rich. What I'm saying is this is how the principle of God works. In verse 21, it says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things.'" The thing that you need to understand is God expects us to be able to use the resources, and it says God also expects us to multiply those resources, and finally, God rewards us for our faithfulness. Notice where it says in verse 23, you well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with a few things. And that is important. If you're to learn anything from this message, faithfulness involves little things. It's the small things that we are faithful to, our health, our relationships, our time, our energy, our character, the development of our skills. The little things that God gives us is really how you grow things in terms of possessions, of wealth, and finances. Certainly, in second part of the verse, it says, "I will put you in charge of many things." When God sees us faithful with the little things that He has entrusted to us, He says, "I will put you in charge of many things." I took a short video of Jackdaw's company video, and I want you to watch it because it shows you the extent of what has happened with a one-piece spray machine. Watch this, and I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Jacto transformed its destiny and achieved amazing milestones since 1948. Operations across more than 100 countries and a Brazilian benchmark in sprayers, coffee harvesters, fertilizer spreaders, and precision agriculture. The technology behind Jacto's products and services also transformed the lives of farmers.
I'd like to say that it's just the technology, but the fact of the matter is the character of its founder that led this family and this company to what it is. I remember being in dinner with Jiro and his wife. It was a fascinating story to hear him brag about his father, because his father was put in charge of many things and the generations after them. More importantly, you see, God's reward is not just many things, it's sharing in Master's happiness. I don't know if you understand this. God is happy when you're blessed. God is happy when you're blessed. Never believe the lie that God doesn't want to provide you with resources. He does. Expect us to use His resources. He expects us to multiply His resources. God wants to reward our faithfulness, and He's happy to do so. Finally, in verse 24, it says, "The man who had received one bag of gold came. Master said, 'I knew that you had a hard man.'" There lies the problem with this one guy. He's so clueless that he actually says that God is a hard man. Mistake, right? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God wants to give you resources. The Bible teaches that God wants to entrust with you certain things and certain abilities. While they're not all the same, you need not envy another guy. Focus on the things that God has given you. The guy was so clueless that three times he made a mistake in understanding how God is. In verse 24, the second half, he says, "Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." That is, for lack of a better word, a dummy move. Because God does not have to get anything from you. God owns everything. The principle is actually the best thing that can happen to you. Because when you abide by God's way, you certainly will see the principle of sowing and reaping and multiplication happen to you. Verse 25 says, "So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." In short, he himself, by his own admission, explains what he did. Fear. The reason why he didn't do anything, and he started hiding the thing in the ground. Instead of developing his health, his talent, his skill, his resources, his influence, instead of managing his time well, he hid because of fear. Notice what Jesus says in this parable. The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Here you can understand something here. Yes, God expects us to use his resources. God expects us to multiply his resources. God rewards our faithfulness. To God, laziness is wicked. And make no mistake about it. If you want to see growth, success, whether that be in wealth, in material possessions, or finances, you cannot be lazy. Here's what it says in verse 26. "So you knew," this is the master confronting the lazy slave, "you already knew that I have not sown or gathered where I have not scattered, and still you insisted on not even putting my money in the bank so that when I returned, I would have received it back in interest. In short, so take this bag from gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags." This is a very harsh teaching right here. But I need you to understand something if you're to see growth in your personal finance. When God entrusts something to you, if you do not use it, you lose it. Whatever it is that God's given you, you better make sure you hone that and develop that, because if you don't use it, you lose it. Further, it says in verse 29, "Whoever has been given more, then they will have an abundance." The more that God's given you and the more you use that, the more abundant things go for you. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. There's a simple reason for that, because God wants you to trust him. God wants you to have faith that, number one, God entrusts resources to everyone. That includes you and that includes me. Because everything belongs to God. Everything we have comes from God. And God entrusts based on our abilities. The more he sees us steward those abilities better, the more he's going to entrust to us. God will check our use of his resources. One day he will audit us. It might not be happening right now, but that day will come. Audits are about how you use the resources that God has entrusted to you. Thirdly, God's resources are for a purpose. Part of that is to reward you. Part of that is to provide for you. Part of that is for you to have the life that He'd ordained for you. But make no mistake about it, His resources, whether that's your personal wealth or resources, are for a purpose. Finally, God expects us to use His resources. God expects us to multiply those resources. He rewards us for our faithfulness in the little things. And God does not like laziness. He finds it wicked. As I end this message, I want you to join me in proclaiming the word of God. Take a piece of bread and a cup and join me in this short word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we receive your words concerning wealth and possessions. In them, we find wisdom and grace. Help us see that everything is yours. Consequently, everything we have is also yours. This means that we are accountable and will one day be audited in our handling of your resources. As we have learned that you expect us to use your resources, give us the faith and abilities to multiply them. And as we do, we expect to be rewarded, not just materially or financially, but with the fulfillment and joy as you have promised. Keep us from being fearful and lazy. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.